What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another pay-per-view point edition of the Smart Out Moment Smack Talk podcast. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango, joined as always by Robert E. Felice.
I like French toast.
And Callum Wiggins.
Bonjour, ça va, mes amis.
Oui, baguette. My wife does Duolingo for French, and I constantly overhear, and I'm like, why is this 9 words?
That's the only time you hear that, her make that noise. Hey.
I would make a baguette joke, but we can't be here all day. Yes, we're running down WWE Backlash France here for our preview side of our predictions and our rundown of the match card and everything else that we normally do here. Backlash 2024 is in France this Saturday, so we will naturally be doing our review coverage, our live results coverage, and all that good stuff that happens along with the pay-per-views. But first, we got to actually preview it, talk about what the matches currently are and our hype level going into this and all that jazz. So as we give you our rundown, we also want to know what you have to say. So drop your thoughts in the comments below on YouTube. While you're over there, click on all the different buttons that you can see on there, like the like button, the share button, the subscribe button, the notification bell. Of course, get those email alerts set up for when we go live. I don't know when this ends on Saturday, but I'm assuming it's somewhere around 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Around 6.
Yeah. It shouldn't be 6. I mean,
if it starts at 1.
The countdown starts at 12. So
4:35 o'clock.
I don't know. I mean, they've done 3-4 hour long things before. This is clearly not going to be WrestleMania, but that's okay. Not everything is.
Freaking Chamber was still a very long show, despite not having very many matches.
That's true. And right now we only have 5 matches on this card. So whenever that ends, we will be live for the post show immediately following that. So set up those email alerts. Also, if you want to help us keep the lights on here, and I can't stress that enough, especially right now, then consider hitting that join button and get access to the YouTube channel membership side of things, like the Patreon, exactly the same stuff. So the Darkcast tier, the Pick a Poison tier, all that stuff is greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated and very, very helpful to just keep everything going here. You know, Redbubble and TeePublic are options for merchandise. There's also just a little thanks button if you want to be like, hey, man, I really like this episode. Here's like, you know, $2 or whatever. I don't remember what the rates are on that thing, but, you know, every little bit helps. So you got any spare change, consider opening up your wallets and passing it our way. If you want to keep the discussion going outside of YouTube, though, the Discord channel is one of the best options for you to do. And there's also that Facebook group that we've always had, facebook.com/group/TheMegaManiacs. And, of course, keep in mind that later on this week, we're going to have some other discussions about things like the Fantasy League. We're going to be running down the WWE Draft, not the What Should Happen thing that I have up on the screen, but what did happen, I guess. We'll do the hot tags and stuff, but we do have Backlash to talk about beforehand, so strap yourselves in. We're going to talk about a whole long laundry list of matches here, all 5 that have been announced. But of course, as per usual, before we get into the matches, let's toss out the idea that they might add some more. They didn't announce any more on Raw, which was pretty surprising to me because WWE is, you know, kind of teasing some other matches or seemingly outright confirming matches without putting them on the card, which kind of, I don't know why they're doing that. I guess they want to really just milk these pay-per-views for as little matches as possible. And then maybe we're going to get these things on Raw, but they had announced, well, I don't know if they would you classify it announcing. Becky Lynch had said to Liv Morgan, "You've got a title match." So somewhere down the line, they're having a match, but they didn't bother to put this up on the website. They didn't bother to put it up on social media. So it would be odd if they just decided tomorrow to be like, oh yeah, and that's happening at Backlash too. Kind of feels like that's just happening on Raw. The Intercontinental, I think it is. Yeah. The Intercontinental Championship, you know, we have a pretty obvious course that we can go in here. Chad Gable had interrupted Bronson Reed's match with Sami Zayn. So it's like, all right, well, look at what's happening with the women's championship. It's a triple threat down the line. They didn't confirm anything like that. We do have number one contenders that are going to be in the mix for the it's a WWE Tag Team Championship. I was about to say SmackDown Tag Team Friday. Championship.
They already announced that.
Oh, that's already announced for Friday?
They announced that right away. That's Friday.
So then we can take that off the board. We don't have anything for the World Tag Team titles. We don't have anything for the United States title. What gives? Do you guys think we're just going to get these five matches and nothing else? Or do you think that they are going to announce some other matches or what?
I think they could announce a few matches, specifically the Becky and Liv match. I think maybe you could get the Sami Zayn match as well. But I also think there's a good chance they go, hey, guys, here's a five match card. Huge stuff is going to happen on this show. You're going to get Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles. You're going to get Bloodline, Hullabaloo, and shut up.
Bloodline, Hullabaloo. I don't remember that one. I know Jacob Fatu might have.
But Hullabaloo, Fatu, you know, they stay with me here, Tony.
Do you expect any matches to be added, Callum, or do you think we're just going to get a lot more filler?
Oh, we're going to get tons of filler, but that's nothing new from recent WWE cards.
Wow, R-Truth visited the Eiffel Tower and called it the Statue of Liberty.
I love the fact, I'm looking forward to seeing how, well, I'm not going to watch it, but like to hear about how many signs or displays of the Eiffel Tower they show when they're in Lyon rather than Paris. So that'd be fun. But I think they'll probably add the triple threat match for the Intercontinental title, and I think they'll probably call it there. I'm just looking at the other ones that they've done, like abroad or in Europe at the very least, like Clash of the Castle had seven matches, including one on the pre-show. Money in the Bank had seven matches, one on the pre-show. So this currently has just seven matches, not a pre-show match on that one. So I imagine that this one will probably have somewhere in the 6 to 7 match range by the end of it. I don't think they're going to do the Liv and Becky one. I think they'll save that for over TV, or they'll push it to King and Queen of the Ring.
The reason I would say do it is because, hey man, don't you want to see Becky? Like, it's a huge star, you would think.
I'm sure like she should be on every show they do, but it's like, it doesn't matter. The runs of the stadium or like the Lyon government and stuff like that have already paid them their money, so they don't really care. I'm sure people are already going to show up anyway because, you know, fans today don't look at the people that are on the card, they just see the letters WWE and they go. So I don't think that they care if Becky's going to be there or not. Well, I'm sure the fans would like to see
Becky there. Yeah, the fans care,
but they don't care about putting her on it. I mean, she should be on vacation right now. She wasn't. They almost certainly, before Rhea's injury, had no intention of putting Becky on this show.
It's interesting because they could just add some complete filler matches that would normally be on SmackDown. Like, we might see a continuation of the feud with Carlito and the split with the LWO. We might see some kind of follow-up with, like, they've done this in the past before. I don't know if they would necessarily do this here, but we have instances before to be like, all right, there's a precedent that maybe the tag title match that happens on Friday gets some kind of, like, all right, somebody got attacked beforehand, and now tomorrow you're going to be fighting in France. They're going to be France for SmackDown. But, like, they could do something like that, which is, like, meh. They could just have Carmelo Hayes be backstage and get into some kind of an argument with, like, let's see, LA Knight, and be like, all right, well, they're going to start a feud, and tomorrow at a Backlash, they're going to have their first match or something. They could do that, but a lot of the people that are in the range for SmackDown, if you were just keeping it kind of like, they didn't announce anything on Raw, so what's left on SmackDown, a lot of them are already booked for the card. And then the new people that aren't on SmackDown yet arguably shouldn't even be there anyway, because the draft doesn't technically go into effect for another few days. So, I don't know. I mean, they already have the Bloodline checked off. They already have, like, Bianca and Jade. They already have Bayley, Cody and AJ. They got enough that if they want to just present this and be like, well, it's not WrestleMania. Here's your five matches. People are going to accept it. People like the three of us are going to be like, that's pretty lame. But, you know, we're not going to see like riots in the street, you know. And the people in Leon are going to be like, we're just happy to have WWE here. Because that's one of the things that they're really getting into with these international pay-per-views is people are just like, I'm glad WWE's here. Doesn't matter what you bring to me. I want everybody there. But if you give me, you know, NXT people, or you give me these low draft picks or something, Apollo Crews gets in a match with somebody, people would be like, well, I get a match.
Yeah. Did he get drafted?
He did get drafted. He was one of the very, very last draft picks. He, I believe, was sent to SmackDown. Let me double check about that. He, when they did the night two supplemental picks, which was like, yeah, this is a bit
Was that the one in the morning thing that you sent me that I was already asleep for?
Yeah, 1:02 in the morning, they put it up on Twitter. It was like, oh, you don't even want to do it on Raw Talk. But the picks were very one-sided. It was Brutus Creed, Julius Creed, Dijak, Ivy Nile, Caden Carter, Katana Chance, Natalya, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Odyssey Jones for Raw. And SmackDown gets Apollo Crews, Tegan Knox, and Giovanni Vinci. So, Raw gets three times the amount of people, and, you know, people that are in much higher trajectories for their careers than Cruz, Vinci, and Knox. But, hey, that's SmackDown, you know? I mean, they have one less hour, so WWE goes, well, you can't have all the good ones.
I'd like to believe that Knox is going to get a push, but that's... But, I believe in stupid things. So
I think Mike Knox has got a better chance of getting a push in WWE these days.
Of course, we'll talk more about the draft stuff in more like heavy detail after we get to the hot tags. But yeah, we do only have these five matches for Backlash right now. So if they don't announce any other ones, we don't get any confirmation of things like the Intercontinental title or the Women's World Championship being on here, then this is just it. And if the pay-per-view has an hour-long countdown and it starts at 1 p.m., I would hope that it would just be a three-hour thing, because five matches in 3 hours is already giving us a lot of filler. Yeah, if they try to stretch it out to four, then that's going to be pretty painful.
Things are rough as it is, Tony. Let's not try to give ourselves false hope for things that we know be happening.
Yeah, you know how I am when it comes to false hope. Well, I hope that these matches are going to be great. And actually, like, on paper, even though these aren't the biggest matches in the world and all, I think that all five of them have potential to be entertaining. I don't think any of them are going to be matching some of the matches that we saw at AEW Dynasty by any means. Like, nobody is going to be, for instance, even Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles, I don't think anybody's going to be putting that as their match of the year over Danielson and Ospreay. But, you know, not everything has to be an 11 out of 10 to be good. That's the whole point of a range. So I'll say the match that I am least looking forward to as far as just like bell-to-bell action and, you know, potential from what I can see is probably the Kabuki Warriors against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. That's for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Kabuki Warriors are now part of the Raw roster. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill both on SmackDown, which is as good of an indication as you can get that they are winning these belts, because if they would have split them up, then you start getting into, all right, well, they didn't want to put them together because they're not going to win those belts. Damage Control on Raw, doesn't matter. You can go back and forth when it comes to being the Women's Tag Team Champions. But that in and of itself might be one of the big draws that they have for putting the belts on Bianca and Jade. They can put two of those big stars on Raw or SmackDown or technically NXT at any moment that they want. I see every reason why they would be doing that. There's no scenario coming out of this that I can imagine is not belts going to Bianca and Jade.
I mean, even first of all, I thought they would do this match at Mania. I thought Jade would get a huge win at Mania. I understand not giving her a title in her first major outing, but that's fine. Even that aside, putting Bianca on all shows is just a net positive. And they're going to win.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident that Bianca and Jade will win titles. I think that I don't know if I agree with the fans about saying that this is the match that has the least going for it in ring, because at least three quarters of it is going to be good. And fundamentally, three quarters is probably all that's going to wrestle, except for the final two moves at the end. Because that's basically what Jade has been limited to since she has finally made more recent appearances. And I don't know, maybe she'll get like the first couple of minutes to just do a move or two, or just hit someone in the back. And then get tagged out for Bianca. Bianca does 90% of the match, and then Jade gets tagged in to hit a big boot and hit the Jaded and win. That's basically how I see this match going. And yeah, I don't think that they'll have the Kabuki Warriors hold the titles for that much longer. I guess the more interesting thing would just be a case of like how long do you keep them as the tag team before you do the inevitable split between Jade and Bianca, because that's the only thing that's the only real nugget of doubt in this, is whether they decide to just fast track split between those two here beforehand. But I don't think they'll go that route, because they want to have Jade and Bianca appearing on Raw and SmackDown for a while and try and like present them as like the most dominant team that's ever held the tag team titles in the women's division before they invariably lose it in some kind of triple threat match or something, where they don't have to get pinned.
I mean, we know that that's inevitable. Jade and Bianca are going to split. They're going to feud. That's the end game of this. But I think that one of the reasons why they're going to go with this tag title situation is because that they're not confident enough with Jade on her own to just be doing singles matches, which, I mean, based off of the way that they've had her just do squash matches, it makes perfect sense. But I would assume that split's probably not happening until at least closer to SummerSlam. Maybe even longer. Like, they're in a spot right now with, again, we're not going to get like super deep into the draft side of things, but if you look at the SmackDown women's roster right now, really quick rundown, they've got Bayley the champion. We'll address her in a second. B-Fab, who really doesn't count because she doesn't wrestle. She's more of a manager, so you kind of can't really count her for more than, you know, she'll do house show loops and lose or something. You have Blair Davenport, who's new to the scene, so, you know, that's good. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, Electra Lopez, or as Ron Simmons said, Electro Lopez. I thought that was pretty funny. Jade Cargill, Meechin, who they never want to push. Naomi, who's in the title match right now. Tiffany Stratton, who's in the title match right now. Nia Jax, who's getting this big resurgence. And Tegan Nox, who they statistically just never really do anything with. That's not a very strong women's division. And even if you count Charlotte Flair almost guaranteed to be going there once she's back, yeah, she makes a big, big difference too. But they need to do something to fill the time for a while. And Bayley, well, I guess let's loop in our discussion here. We're all going with the tag titles changing hands, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Now, when it comes to the women's championship, without the tag titles, just the WWE Women's Championship, it's a triple threat. Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, and Bayley. I think that it's a guarantee Bayley's retaining, which is weird to me because Tiffany Stratton is like somebody who I would go, wow, she should be one of the next champions, if not the next champion. Yet they are not setting her up for that. And I would have thought that the most obvious thing would have been, okay, well, you make her the Queen of the Ring, or you make her the Ms. Money in the Bank, and then she ends up being the one that beats Bayley. The fact that she's feuding with Naomi and Bayley at the same time, it kind of seems like they're rushing through that a little bit, to me at least. Now, they might continue the Tiffany Stratton thing. The next pay-per-view that's coming up could just be Bayley versus Tiffany Stratton, and then, you know, Naomi is out of the mix and all, but I would assume Bianca and Jade don't get into the title hunt for at least a few months. Once we get past Blair Davenport, and maybe Bayley has some kind of a feud with Nia Jax immediately following this or something. But the Bianca and Jade split probably not happening towards later on this year. maybe around, let's see, what do we have? We have King and Queen of the Ring is next, then Clash at the Castle in Scotland, then Money in the Bank, and then SummerSlam, then Bash in Berlin. And we can assume, of course, Survivor Series, Crown Jewel. I don't know. I'm kind of, at this point, I'm thinking Bayley retains her title at least into Money in the Bank. And Bianca and Jade probably split around SummerSlam. Maybe they're feuding towards that end of the year. And I don't know if they would want to drag that out all the way until WrestleMania, or if we're going to have like Charlotte in the mix for the title, and they're going to have like Charlotte and Bianca again, or Charlotte and Jade or whatever. But there's only a few people that I can see revolving around that title. How do you think this is going to be panning out for the next few months?
Imagine if you, I would love to imagine a fantasy world where we fucking pushed people and Blair Davenport could be somebody and Tegan Knox could be somebody, and we didn't have to be like, well, golly, they've got Bayley and maybe Nia. I don't know. I see Bayley retaining, if only because I think Tiffy will be the Queen of the Ring or Money in the Bank. And I think they're going to want to wait a little bit before just giving her the belt immediately. Maybe there's a singles with Naomi in there. Maybe there's, you know, the Nia Jax feud. There's definitely, you can help put over Blair Davenport. And like I said, I'd like a Tegan Knox match in there. But I think they're going to want to build Tiffany a little bit more.
Yeah, I think Bayley will retain. She'll probably pin Naomi to do it. And I'm not particularly looking forward to this match, because I think both Naomi and Bayley are pretty washed when it comes to being in the ring. And I think they're just a bit slow, and they're quite far off their previous athletic peaks.
Naomi was just killing it in TNA. What happened?
To be fair, I've watched some of the TNA matches. She's moving in slow motion. It's just that the standard's lower and the crowd was super excited for her because she was a star.
I guess that's fair.
So I think that, so I don't think it's going to go particularly well in just terms of match quality. Tiffany will have to have her working boots on to try and drag a lot out of this. And then, yeah, I think that in terms of like what's happening in the future, I'd probably just put the title on Nia Jax as soon as King and Queen of the Ring, probably. Just put it on her and then see whoever your top baby face is by the time SummerSlam comes around, whether that's putting the title back on Bayley or whether you built someone else up in the meantime, whoever that ends up being, whether it's Charlotte's come back at that point, or you've got someone else you have in mind, either like a Bianca or a Jade, if you want to have one of them drop the title by that point, the tag title, should I say. But I think that what they did on SmackDown's a clear sign that they want to give Nia a run with the belt. And they couldn't do it on Raw because of Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, which are just higher level stars, whereas now she's on SmackDown, she's like the big fish in a much shallower pond.
I could see them giving her the belt in that situation where she gets cashed in on, because they like putting her as like the butt of the joke. So maybe she wins it at, like, Clash the Castle, and then less than a month later, she gets cashed in by whoever wins Money in the Bank. They do like doing that with the women, too. They love putting the Money in the Bank briefcase on somebody that's going to cash in within, like, 24 hours. Maybe it's a different era now, and maybe we are going to get more, like, the Io Sky kind of treatment and not just throw it away immediately. But I don't imagine we're going to get a scenario where Nia is going to be holding the belt for like say she wins that at like King and Queen of the Ring and then holds it until like SummerSlam. I feel like she's there as a challenger more than their champion.
So you just said that, and I just realized Tiffany has to win Money in the Bank because, and then she has to hold it forever. Because the gimmick is simply No, I'm not cashing in on your time. I'm cashing in on Tiffy time. And you've got 10 months of just her going, nope, not yet. It's not Tiffy time. Like, and that's it. Like, that's all you have to do with her. And I think it'll be a fun run for Bailey. I don't agree with Callum fully that she's completely washed. I understand why he says that, but I think WrestleMania was good. Granted, I don't know how much of that was on EO, but no, I think this will be a good run for her.
I thought the WrestleMania match was really good as well, but I think that it's like it had a good story building into it, and had that kind of, those two had worked together for ages as teammates, and so you could kind of build the narrative behind it as well. And I think, I'd say, like, even someone who, she was one of the best women's wrestlers on the roster for a long time, so she can still bring it out from time to time. Hopefully she does it here, but I think that most of her matches since her return from that long hiatus have been to a lesser standard than what she was able to produce beforehand. So I'm just assuming that'll be the case. Naomi, I have no faith in being able to return to that level, because I think by the time she was on her way out in WWE the first time around, she was already kind of hitting that skid, and nothing that I've seen from her since returning gives me any kind of hope that she'll return to the athleticism she had previously.
Naomi's at that point in her career where she already is a Hall of Famer. Not technically yet, they haven't inducted her, but you know what I mean, she's a future Hall of Famer. And she's on that downward kind of slope. Bailey kind of feels the same to me as well, and not to like rag on her or anything, but I feel like the character itself needs some kind of a rehaul, because right now all she's doing is being like, man, it's good to be a babyface again. Thanks for cheering me. And there's no real energy behind it. Now, I don't want her to be a heel again, because she's been heel for a bunch of years, and I wasn't the biggest fan of that character either. And after more consideration, we've talked about this before, about the whole, like, I kind of wanted her to come out with, like, the inflatable tube guys and all that. I kind of agree with the people that are like, nah, she can't really go back to that, because it would be weird for her to revert back to that. But she needs to find another tweak to her character. Because right now, I'm thinking we're looking at several months down the road, a pretty boring title reign. And the Naomi and Tiffany Stratton feud, the most interesting feud about part about this feud is Tiffany Stratton. It's not Bailey and it's not Naomi. They're just two people having a match. Tiffany's the one driving everything. So that's where I go into, like, well, the next pay-per-view isn't that far off. King of Queen of the Ring is only May 25th is what it is. So by the time Backlash is done and we start the tournament on next Monday, we're only 3 weeks away from King of Queen of the Ring. I think that they can get a Tiffany Stratton versus Bailey match out of that if they want to, or if they want to just be done with that feud, they can do that as well. They don't have to put those two on the card or have Bailey defend her belt on the card at all. But the lineup of what we've got going forward, I kind of want to already skip to where they want to do what they want to do, and like not the stuff to kill time in the meantime. Because we'll probably see, you know, Blair Davenport versus Bailey. We'll probably see,
she's gonna fight Piper in Scotland.
I could imagine that that's probably going to be the case. And she'll probably feud with Chelsea Green and Piper around that. Like, maybe she'll feud with Chelsea leading up to feuding with Piper. But then I'm not going to be like, oh, Piper's going to win the title and it's going to be whatever. I'll just be like, all right, well, they put her there for that. And they have a match. And you skip forward however many months until, like, now we're cooking. Can't say I'm the biggest fan of what the women's division is shaping up to be on SmackDown right now. Maybe I'm wrong, though. We'll see in the future. But at least for now, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill are more than likely going to be winning those tag belts. And then when it comes to what they do in the meantime, I don't know who they're going to feud with, but they have to stay separated from Bayley and from that title, because they're not going to be doing the same thing at the same time. So they'll bounce around. They'll feud with Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, most likely, in the meantime. Maybe we'll get some kind of thing in the future where Tiffany becomes, like, if she becomes Queen of the Ring, maybe she gets some kind of a follower. Maybe we get a pairing with some other people. I don't know. Candace and Indy are going to probably feud with Bianca and Jade. But I'm thinking Bayley retains, Bianca and Jade win those belts. And I think all three of us are going in that direction, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two women's matches on the card. We have another tag team match. It's not for the tag titles in any fashion whatsoever, even though we have two separate tag titles now. But that is just Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, Team RKO, essentially, against the Bloodlines, Solo Sikoa, and Tama Tonga. This is the first match that Tama Tonga is going to have in WWE. It is the first match that Solo Sikoa is going to have. They're going to have after they sort of have positioned him as that whole tribal heir thing. They're not really using that term, at least not yet, but he is taking over and he's trying to be, you know, Mr. Badass. They can't lose.
Obviously.
Unless the story is, well, you suck without Roman.
Nope, that's not the story they're telling.
Yeah, it's not how at least they're positioning it right now. But, you know, I mean, there's been twists and stuff. It would be a bad story. I don't think they're going in that direction, and I don't think that they should. But I think that this is as straightforward as you need Solo to win because he's been losing so much. You need Tama Tonga to win because you can't have him start off and immediately lose. And I'd go so far as to say Jacob Fatu should be the reason why they win. Should just be Orton and Owens are doing a great...
It's a Samoan in a hoodie. Who is that thing? My goodness. That's not Roman. That's Jacob Fatu. Oh, that's the ending here, right?
I mean, if it's not, I'm going to be really shocked.
It doesn't necessarily need to be, because I think Tonga and Solo can just beat the shit out of Kevin Owens if they want to and win. But it'll probably be, hey, Solo keeps adding people to the Bloodline. Paul Heyman is nervous. Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman knows that they're eventually going to kill him, but he's trying to wait till Roman gets back. So, you know, that's the way this is going.
Yeah, I think they've, from the bits and pieces that I've seen, they seem to have been doing a good job of presenting Tama Tonga as like this unhinged lunatic, which I think is good character for him. I still can't get over in my head the fact that Eric Bischoff described him as a young talent when he's in his
40s. I thought you might say that, but you know, that's not necessarily on him, and he's no younger than a young spry Finn Balor and Damian Priest.
I have no problem with the Tama Tonga thing. I have more just the case that it just whittles away Bischoff's credibility every single week, but then again, he does that every time he opens his mouth, so that's fine. But I think that they have done a good job presenting him, and he's fit into this new iteration of the Bloodline world where Solo's, I mean, it's obvious the direction it's going with Solo Sikoa taking more and more power, and eventually when Roman comes back, there's going to be a power struggle between both sides. So I think in order to build on that, well, one of the most important things in order to build on that is Solo Sikoa needs to start winning matches.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that he hasn't done in a long, long time since he beat John Cena. So I think it's about time he picked up a victory, and giving him a win over Randy Orton and Kevin Owens makes a lot of sense. Probably pinning Kevin Owens, because that's kind of his lot in life right now. I imagine Owens will get some babyface fire by talking kind of promo in French to the crowd beforehand. But then they'll end up losing to get that heat. And, I think just Solo Sikoa hits the spot, gets the victory. Pretty straightforward.
I don't know where they go after this, because they can't just keep having Orton and Owens fight the two of these guys over and over.
Oh, yes, they can. Did you not see the Judgment Day versus Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, all those for pretty much every single main event of Raw for like 6 months?
I do think it's very funny that Tony said the words, they can't they can do whatever they want.
I guess a better scenario would be to say they shouldn't.
They shouldn't is what you're going for.
Yeah. They can't do that without pissing me off.
It boils down to how quickly do we get Cody involved? You know?
Now, I don't think with King and Queen of the Ring coming up, I don't think that there's anything that points in the direction of like Solo and Cody having a match there, for instance.
Why not?
I don't know. I got a feeling that they're... Well, I guess let's talk about this because Cody Rhodes is going up against AJ Styles. And I think it's pretty obvious that all three of us are going to assume Cody Rhodes retains the title, right?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that AJ Styles doesn't have a chance?
Not much of a chance. Kane's got a shot, but AJ doesn't have a chance. They are only a few weeks away from that. That I think what we're going to get is that they're going to continue the feud and they're going to just do a gimmick match. And it's going to be like Cody either retains here at Backlash through like, just a regular pinfall, and AJ continues to attack him afterward on SmackDown or something, or, you know, oh, now I'm pissed, so now we're gonna, because they've been very respectful of each other, and they could try to, you know, double down on the whole idea of like, we have one episode of SmackDown before this pay-per-view. They don't really need to do much with AJ and Cody right now. On Friday night, they can probably just have another, hey, we're going to have the match tomorrow. It's going to be a quote-unquote dream match for you. It's going to be me needing to retain the title and reiterate basically the promo that they already did. They do the match. Now it becomes personal. And then those next 3 weeks are, hey, you know, fuck you, pal. And then, hey, I'm not your pal, buddy. And don't call me buddy, guy. We're going to Saudi Arabia, not a Canada, but still. And the like follow up from that, I think by then you're done with the feud, and then you start building somebody for Clash the Castle in Scotland. So maybe that could be Solo, but that's already one more pay per view beyond what we're at now. I think we're getting Jacob Fatu is interfering, and then Randy Orton and Kevin Owens need a third. And at King and Queen of the Ring, we're getting a six-man tag. Just to
why wouldn't the third be Cody?
Because I think he'll be busy defending his title against AJ.
Why? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, this could easily be a one-off match. Look at the history. AJ Styles was the one-off match guy for Seth Rollins twice. In 2019 and last year, I don't think this needs to be a drawn out thing. I think you get the six man at King and Queen of the Ring, where you can have somebody pin Cody.
I mean, they could go in that direction, and then that sets up Solo and Cody at Clash the Castle in Scotland.
And then after that, you can go, hey, maybe Jacob Fatu at Money in the Bank or something, and then go, oh, look, it's SummerSlam. Rock's back. There you go.
I think that in terms of the WWE Championship match, I do think it's kind of a one-and-done thing, because I think they're going to try and lean into the Cody like fighting champion aspect, and the fact that now there is a consistent world champion on SmackDown, which there hasn't been in like 3 years. Like the fact that he had just a random match with Carmelo Hayes on SmackDown is just something that it'll become more familiar, and he'll just be having more matches. I mean, I don't even mention the fact that like everyone thinks that he should have a match with Randy Orton at some point in his reign, and like going through all of the bloodline before that seems like I imagine that he'll have the match with Randy somewhere between Backlash and SummerSlam, if not at SummerSlam itself.
Unless they want to do that for Mania.
I don't want another year long title reign. Like,
I'm doing that at this year. You know, honestly, if we tell the truth here, that's a good match for Saudi. Saudi loves himself some Randy Orton. You know?
I mean, realistically, if you want to do Randy Orton versus Cody and you don't want to have like if you don't have enough stuff in the meantime to drag that out for a full year or something, if they do that in Scotland, like, it, you don't have to wait for it to be like at, you know, hey, it's in Georgia, so it's a big deal for Cody, or hey, it's in, oh God, where's Warren Newern from? St. Louis, right?
Yep.
Like, we don't have a St. Louis pay-per-view coming up, but SummerSlam, big deal. Bash in Berlin, they're going to try to make that a big deal. Money in the Bank is in Canada. That's going to be in the same, you know, Scotland, Canada, Berlin, like any of these international things, they treat as somewhat of a big deal. You can do it at any time, but if you're not going to do Rock and Cody at SummerSlam, more than likely that's happening at WrestleMania. And then that's a whole nother year title reign to begin with. And then what do you do with Roman and, you know, all that. So I'd rather them hold off on Orton and Cody if they plan on not having Cody drop the title than to do that and then be like, crap, what do we do for Mania? Maybe they have something else in mind. Maybe
I'm with Callum. I don't want another year long title. I don't care if Cody wins it three times in the next year. I just don't want a champion going another straight year without getting his shoulders pinned.
What throws me off a lot is that they didn't put Gunther on the same brand.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting that. So that did throw me off as well.
Because again, if you look at the whole draft setup that they've got now, there's people for Cody to fight for the next year. If you really want to just be like, okay, well, he's got the AJ Styles feud going on right now. Technically, he could have a little 1 month feud with Andrade, with Bobby Lashley, Carmelo Hayes. You've got, if you want to bump up Austin Theory and Grayson Waller in the meantime, maybe they get to a point where that would make sense. You've got Kevin Owens that you can pull the trigger on. You've got the Randy Orton thing. I wouldn't really want them to go back to Shinsuke Nakamura, but they technically could, at least for like filler. They've got the Logan Paul match that we're all kind of assuming is going to happen at some point. The Randy Orton match, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, The Rock returning. There are options to keep him busy for 12 months or less than 12 months. We don't need full 12. It's just a matter of where do you place things? And I think that they can get away with just doing another AJ Styles match, or if they want to do a 6-man tag or something along those lines. King and Queen of the Ring may even be one of those pay-per-views where the fact that it's the King and Queen of the Ring tournament is the big selling point, and that they don't need to have a lot of title matches on the card, because they'll be like, well, they just defended at Backlash. So you might not even be looking at that. We might be looking at a card for King and Queen of the Ring that's like the finals of those two tournaments, and then, you know, a handful of other matches that are sort of like, well, the Intercontinental title, it's going to be defended because that wasn't at Backlash. Or, well, Logan Paul wasn't at Backlash, so he's going to be in Jeddah. When's that fight with Jake Paul and Mike Tyson?
Sometime in July, I think.
Okay, so that's not like right around the corner. In any fashion, I think we're all going Cody's retaining here and probably at least keeping it until SummerSlam, right?
I mean, I don't know about all that, but he's definitely retaining here.
Yeah, that's what I'd probably say as well. Like, I'd ideally like to live in a world where we don't just obviously know that world titles only change hands at SummerSlam and WrestleMania.
That's the drum I'm beating all year too, baby. I'm tired of it.
And I, like, in an ideal world, we've had in the past, you know, used to change hands on Raw. And yeah, I don't think we need to have a year-long title reign for everybody. Sometimes it works. Sometimes you're just like, all right, you're just doing it for the sake of it being like a nice round number. We're not going to get it with Rhea for an extra year. We already know that. She's already out of the mix for that. And I could say with pretty high certainty, it's not going to be a year-long title reign for Damian Priest. Now, he's going up against Jey Uso here. That's the last match for us to talk about. That is for the World Heavyweight Championship. And not to, you know, downplay these two, because I like Damian Priest a lot. I'm very glad that he's won this title. He can check that off of his list. I'm a fan of Jey Uso. I thought that he's been doing great work for the most part. From like, none of us, I think, would have seen that coming, that Jey Uso would be like this solid of a single star. But I gotta call attention to something that I saw somebody put out there where they said, man, it sucks that the most interesting feud for the World Heavyweight Championship right now is between two injured people. That's Drew McIntyre and CM Punk.
Yeah, they're doing a great job, aren't they?
Drew McIntyre has been on fire for these past couple months. I've been really loving his character. And despite the drawbacks of the CM Punk character and stuff, he's having a lot of fun doing that stuff too. And that's, you know, that's translating for me to be having fun. So I'm enjoying everything that those guys are doing. I'm not loving the Jey Uso versus the Judgment Day feud that we've got. Like, I don't think it did anything for Logan Paul to be in the mix there and to punch JD McDonagh. And it doesn't help that Rhea's gone and that Dominic's gone, and that the main thing that's happening with Dominic right now is what's happening with him and Liv, and then people making fun of his stupid mustache. But I don't see this being a super long-term feud either. I don't think that Jey Uso is going to be having a second match with Damian Priest at the next pay-per-view. I think this is more of a one-and-done than the Cody and AJ thing. Damian Priest is just going to retain, whether it's through Judgment Day interfering or it's through him just establishing himself as like, yeah, he can get the job done on his own, which I highly doubt is probably going to be the case with the, you know, interference and stuff. I don't think that there's any chance at all that Jay wins, of course. And then I don't know where they go from there, because there are lots of options, again, for people to be feuding with Damian Priest and with Jey Uso. We got a whole refresh of, like, Ilya Dragunov is on the roster now. Braun Breaker's on the roster. Braun Strowman is back. And I would assume probably Braun Strowman is going to be the next person that Damian Priest beats. So maybe those two at King and Queen of the Ring. And I don't know about Jay, but, you know, Gunther's still on this roster. He's going to be a big deal with that most likely winning King of the Ring. And, you know, Karrion Kross is in there. I don't know. They seem to be shuffling the deck a little bit. And I just assume no matter what they deal, I don't know why I'm going with all these cards analogies, it's going to be Damian Priest retaining.
Maybe. yeah. It's definitely just going to be Damian Priest wins. Don't get me wrong, I'd love Jey Uso in here. You know, I don't care. I just said I don't need to see people be champions for a year. I think shuffling around this belt would be special as well. And Jey Uso is clearly a big deal. First overall pick for Raw. And I'm excited for more matches like this and like the Cody and AJ one. Because even if it's not the most shiny and sparkly thing, I'd rather matches that you know will be followed up on the next night. I'm excited, but yeah, I think Priest wins.
Yeah, this strikes me as incredibly mid in every sense of it, because you're absolutely right that the world title should be between had they not both be injured, would be between Drew McIntyre and CM Punk right now. And fundamentally, out of the actual healthy people that compete on Raw, the World Championship should be being competed between Sami Zayn and Chad Gable right now, rather than these two. They are, yeah, this is for your semi-World Championship, like the one that everyone knows is not the real World Championship, that they've done absolutely nothing to give you the indication that it's a real World Championship. This is the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship, essentially. And these two absolutely feel every single inch of that. They're not main event guys, even though one of them has main event in their moniker. It's like, no, they are absolutely mid-card guys, and you can't make me assume otherwise. It doesn't even help with the fact that for Judgment Day, they've lost their talisman character in Rhea Ripley, and everyone else in the Judgment Day has been beaten like a drum for the last several months. To the point where they're just half comedy act now, because most of the stuff they've been doing that's been valuable on TV has been linked to R-Truth
It is a weird time frame for Judgment Day when it's like, you went into WrestleMania as tag champs. Dom's got a match on his own. Rhea's the reigning and, you know, successfully retains her championship. And Damian Priest is Mr. Money in the Bank and wins the championship. You lose the tag titles, but whatever. And now you're in a spot where it's like, man, Dom is injured. Rhea's injured. JD's still perpetually the punching bag. And it's only Balor and Priest. Priest is the top guy on Raw, but struggling to maintain his dominance over that. And Balor's just kind of there, but they don't really even seem to use him in a lot of the other segments too. So you can tell that they're waiting to do a split and that Finn Balor is going to feud with Damian Priest at some point. Maybe it's Clash to Castle or something. Maybe it's going to happen sooner.
By the way, if he does, give him the fucking belt.
Balor?
Yeah. Just give him the belt. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, you could.
I mean, at this point, I'd rather they gave the belt to either an injured Drew McIntyre or CM Punk.
I mean, I'm all for giving CM Punk belts. You're not going to get an argument from me there. But as Callum just said, if this does feel IC title level, then yeah, why not just give Balor the belt? I mean, for God's sake, let him have something other than I was the first Universal Champion for 2 hours. You know, like, not going to kill anybody. But I do want to throw this question out there since this seemed to be a pretty unified thought. What do you do to rehab this title?
Put it on either Drew McIntyre or CM Punk and have a blood feud over it.
Until they're...
You can't do anything. There's no one on Raw that's at that their level of star power. And having Damian Priest, as much as he does have good qualities, having him feud with guys like Jey Uso and potentially Finn Balor and potentially, I don't know, Bron Breakker or something is not going to elevate him to the status of someone who's a proper world champion level. He's not the star power of Cody. He's not the star power of someone like Randy Orton. And fundamentally, he doesn't have, I don't think he has neither the charisma nor the in-ring ability to push himself to that next level. I think this is the ceiling for Damian Priest. And that ceiling is, you know, solid upper mid-carder. He's not a world champion.
What other champion, whether it's, you know, doesn't have to be the WWE championship, like the world heavyweight championship, but like world title level, do you guys think that Priest is going to end up being the equivalent to? Because we've seen people in the past where it's like, all right, well, technically speaking, obviously,
Sheamus,
like the character is not the same. But like Roman Reigns with his most recent title reign was basically like a Hulk Hogan type title reign. And then, you know, we've had people in the past where it's like, oh, that's kind of a Macho Man title reign. Like, I would say like Seth Rollins, when he beat Brock, what year was that? That was like 2018, I think. 2017?
That was 19. When he beat Brock?
19? Yeah, 19?
Yeah.
I feel like his title reign after that was kind of like a Macho Man or a Bret Hart title reign. And Priest, I could see being kind of in that range of like a Sheamus, like you said. Maybe, like, you know, it's an era that's not really great to compare it to. Because the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship, at least from my perspective, when they were those two titles, one of them felt like it was very clearly not the same as the other one. Eventually, we got to a point where the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship felt pretty even to me. When they weren't.
But that's only because, like, the quality kept slipping. You know? at a certain point, it just became, okay, I guess this is what we got. You know?
I don't think that there's a way for Priest, the way that they're presenting him now and with the people that he's probably going to be feuding with over the next few months, I don't think that he is the guy that's going to be the instrumental factor in boosting up that title. And that's not to rag on Priest, because I don't think it's his fault. I think that it's, they haven't positioned him to be that type of a top star. Whereas if, you know, if some things were rearranged differently, if like Gunther would have won that belt, I think people would be like, oh shit, in a different way.
But you also need, not to quote Stan Hansen, but you gotta have an opponent.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna need an opponent. You're gonna need someone who's going to help elevate that title. And I agree with what you're saying. It's just, you can't also tell me that if Randy got this belt, it would have been like, ugh, Randy? You know, like really? Like, I was super stoked when Randy won the belt during the pandemic. And, you know, if I recall correctly, like, it was still just like, really, Randy again? Like, you gotta have somebody new eventually. And the problem is, the bar just keeps naturally being lowered. And I do wish that Drew McIntyre just had the title right now. I think that would help things. Because I think if we plug in Drew even to this match, it feels more heated because Drew has just hated Jey Uso for a year. You know, he just hates the bloodline so much.
Once Drew McIntyre and CM Punk get to the point where they can be in this title hunt, I think at that point we're going to be done with the Damian Priest versus blank setup. And maybe that's like not even, you know, maybe Finn Balor and Damian Priest don't have a feud with the belt. Maybe by then he's already lost it. And maybe they're just feuding, you know, it's a grudge match or something around SummerSlam time or whatever. But depending on when they can pull the trigger on Punk and McIntyre, that's when things are going to really heat up. And then in the meantime, we're going to be in a holding pattern. And, you know, they're going to have people like Jey Uso, who is sort of like, all right, he's popular enough. He's been in main event spots. He's a viable contender on paper. But if you really think about it, yeah, he's never even won a mid-card title. And Damian Priest has won the United States title. He's been a tag team champion. He's been Mr. Money in the Bank. Now he's world champion. So he's gotten the Triple Crown thing set up.
That's insane to me.
At least
he doesn't feel like he's at that level.
They count that as Triple Crown, right? Or do you have to technically do the Intercontinental?
No, they would count it. They would count it. But like, he doesn't feel like he's at that level to me. So that's just insane to hear.
He feels to me like right now he's at the spot that he should have been when he won Money in the Bank. And again, I like Damian Priest.
Yeah, this is so it's as like, do I. This is not like fuck Damian Priest. This is just a general problem.
Like now I buy into, okay, he's the leader of the Judgment Day, and if you gave him the Money in the Bank briefcase, then I'd be like, yeah, probably in the next few months he'll win that world title and I'll buy into it more. In the meantime,
no.
Disagree?
Oh, I mean, I never thought that Bisexual Undertaker should be a should be a world champion. But you know, like I can see his good qualities, but he's always just struck me as like, I'd say, upper mid card guy, and that's totally fine position to be. I just don't think he doesn't have the next level in him to be a world champion. Just don't think that, you know, everyone just, the biggest thing for world champions is that they have to have some sort of intangible it factor. I just don't think he has it. I think he's just, you know, pretty good at most things, but doesn't really excel at anything in particular. I think he's a half decent promo. Well, I say half decent. He's a good promo. He's good in the ring, but I don't think he's great at anything.
The problem is that there's so many people now who don't care as much. Like, we're saying these things from the mindset of what we remember and what we grew up on, obviously. And there's so many people now who are just like, no, all you need to be a top guy is to have belt. If you have belt, you top guy. Like,
if Priest didn't have the aesthetic that he has, which sets him apart, I don't really see that I'd be considering him much different from Jack Swagger when he won the title.
Well, thankfully for everybody, Bisexual Undertaker has at least eclipsed.
But then he gets that tattooed covered eagle as his mascot, and then we're off to the races.
So that's the missing element. He needs a mascot.
Yeah, exactly. Needs to get I don't know. I assume he was around Was he? Yeah, I don't think he was around NXT when the Bunny and Adam Rose was around. Yeah. So
you can put JD McDonagh in a suit. They seem to be really enjoying mocking the size of his head lately.
Yeah, they really are just like they're dragging him through the mud when it comes to that. His big Klingon head they said on Raw.
Yeah.
Poor dude can't like change the size of his head.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I also, like, from what you said earlier, I actually disagree. I think this is much more likely to have a multiple matches than the Cody and AJ one is. Because Cody's a big enough star that he can take on different challenges, whereas I just don't see that there's really any babyface on Raw be involved in something like Sami Zayn. I know that Braun Strowman just came back, but surely he'd want Braun to, you know, do something before he immediately goes into the world title scene again. I presume that Braun was going to be just a part of the Uncle Howdy stuff when it comes in. Yeah. But,
I mean, that but yeah, I guess we still don't know much about what's going on with there because the draft didn't include anything with that, yeah.
I guess their hands have kind of been forced, really, in the sense that, not that Braun wouldn't be worthy of it, but it's more of a case of, well, now without McIntyre, without Rhea Ripley, without CM Punk available, it's like, well, he's the only guy that's really got any credibility and is a former world champion that we can really put in that position.
Wait till you see this unique way we get the Braun Strowman in the world title match.
I think we're probably looking at Jay loses this match, and then they continue to do this, like, it was Jay and Braun, and
I imagine it'll be Judgment Day versus Bray. Braun Jay and Ricochet will be like a 6-man tag against the Judgment Day for a while.
They'll do that, I think, on Raw, and then it'll be like kind of transitioning Jay out of being the number one contender to Braun being the number one contender, and we'll have like Braun versus Finn on an episode of Raw, and he'll like squash JD McDonagh in like some 3-second thing where he just like, you know, picks him up, slams him down, and that's the end of it. And then Braun versus Priest at King and Queen of the Ring. I don't think that they have enough legs that they can drag that out until Clash of the Castle. Granted, it's only a month, so they probably could, but yeah, I mean, we don't know what the setup is going to be for King and Queen of the Ring. That's the other thing, is they've said so far that the tournament starts next week.
It's going to be Gunther and Trigner.
Oh, what did they say when they announced his name?
Oh, they pronounced it weird. Ron Simmons.
Yeah, because
not Ron Simmons. They made
Teddy Long.
Teddy Long. He's just like
Illa. I think he said.
Yeah, Illa Dragon. Like,
it's like, no, you got the first name wrong and you got the last name wrong because it's. yeah,
but he's going 1-on-1 tonight with the Undertaker.
Yeah, maybe he can come out and announce that he's going to go 1-on-1 with Bisexual Undertaker then. That's what we're missing with Damian Priest. Yeah, I think that that's kind of the setup of what we're going to be getting over the next few months or so. And that when push comes to shove, Damian Priest is going to be losing that belt, you know, not relatively soon in the sense of like, you know, put your clocks on there because he's got 3 weeks left or something. But I don't think Priest is still holding this belt after SummerSlam. And I guess a lot of that depends on the health status of Punk and McIntyre, because they're very clearly going to feud, whether it's for the title or not. And then, you know, Seth Rollins, when he comes back, is going to be on Monday Night Raw too. So there's more to kind of milk in that ring. So I don't know. I don't think that Jay and Priest, though, it's going to be some feud that's continuing to June. Whatever fashion it is, though, Jay's not winning this belt. Not right now. So then I think we're on agreement about all five of these matches. Cody Rhodes, Damian Priest, Bayley, Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill, and then Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. And then if they announce any more matches, of course, we will address that on the hot tags on Friday. Now, they will, of course, probably, if they do announce any other matches, do that on SmackDown after we do the hot tags. So that might not necessarily be, you know, something announced ahead of time, but we do have NXT tonight, and, you know, it's kind of rare for them to do anything like that, but tomorrow afternoon they might announce something, Thursday they might. We'll be keeping an eye out on that, let you know. Of course, if you check out smartcatmoment.com, then you'll see any kind of updates for this card over the next few days, live coverage during the pay-per-view, post-show immediately following the pay-per-view on Saturday afternoon. In the meantime, check out the Discord. Check out all that Marketplace stuff that I mentioned before. In particular, keep your eyes peeled for the Dark Cast. I don't know what we're going to do necessarily for the next episode, but if you have any suggestions, let us know. We'll talk about the draft stuff in the future, too. And if you want to follow Fanboys Anonymous, go to fanboysanonymous.com and check out all the other things you could see on the link tree at amangotree.com. Follow and favorite and share and subscribe to those things there. Check me out at Tony Mango. And make sure you're following what everybody else is going on, too.
Yep. Check me out everywhere at Dude Felice. Check out my work on Fightful. Check out what everyone else is doing at Fightful. Corey Brennan's got a bunch of NXT scoops because it's Tuesday. By the time you hear this, it probably won't be, but you still check it out anyway. And we'll be here on Saturday for the pay-per-view podcast. And also check out what Callum has going on, including the Fantasy League, which I'm going to win this year.
Yep, so first you can follow me on Twitter at WickMeister14. You can check out the power rankings over on SmartCamera.com, which tracks the performances of WWE superstars over the course of a given week and how I kind of position them based on that. So check that out to see who's ranking towards the top, who's doing well in the whole WWE landscape. And then, yes, as Rob mentions, the Fantasy League get started in earnest as of Backlash. We've obviously drafted our teams. You can go back in the archives and check out the episode to see who we ended up picking, or you can just head on over to WWEFantasyLeague.com, check out the teams themselves on the handy-dandy spreadsheet, and then, yeah, we'll be seeing who's able to score some points and is ended up on top by the time WrestleMania comes around next year.
Okay, okay, everybody. You know the score. Drop your thoughts in the comments below. Hit that like button on YouTube. If you're elsewhere, hop on over to YouTube and hit the like button too. And make sure that you stay tuned for anything else that's coming up next. Everything is at Smark Out Moment. And that's going to do us in for now. Adios. This has been another Smark Out Moment. And we're being counted out.